There once was this group of women doing a study in the book of Malachi. I don't know if you ever read, but there's this, the third verse in the third chapter, it puzzled them. It says this: "He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver." And as these ladies read through this, they wondered this statement. What does it mean about the character and the nature of God? So one of the women, they offered to investigate the process of refining silver and then get back to the rest of the group at their next Bible study. So that week, the lady called a silversmith and asked him if she could come and watch him while he worked. She didn't mention anything about why she wanted to do this other than her curiosity. She was curious about the process of refining silver. So he agreed, and she went. As she watched him, he held a piece of silver over a fire, and he let it heat up. I don't know if you've watched it before, but he explained that refining the silver, he needed to hold the piece in the middle of the fire. They have this little metal thing, and they put the silver in it, and they heat it up over the coals, where the flames are the hottest, so he could burn out all the impurities and remove them, take them away. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse: "He sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver." So she asked the silversmith if it was true, if he had to sit there in front of the fire the entire time. Can you set your crucible down? It's got a stand and a holder. Can you just leave it there? But no. He said he had to sit there the entire time while the silver was being refined. He went on to explain that not only did he have to sit there, but he had to keep a very close eye on it. If the time is exceeded by the slightest degree, the silver would be damaged. So he puts it in and he takes it out to monitor the temperature. After seeing him and hearing him, she immediately thought about when we go through the furnace of trials. God keeps an eye on us each step of the way. And the woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked, "How do you know when the silver is refined?" And he smiled and he said, "Well, that's easy, because I can see my image in it. The impurities are removed, and the silver is still shining in its liquid form, and I can see my reflection." That sounds just like God. He puts us in the trial and he takes us out, looking at us on every occasion, puts us in the trial and takes us out. Another test, looks again. Another test, looks again. Until he can look down and see his image in us. God has a way of refining his children. God refines us for his purposes by allowing us to go through all kinds of tests. Your purpose, my purpose, is to glorify God, but often God works by developing our character first. Over the summer season, we've been reading through the book of Joseph. Last week we took a break to hear a story from a missionary, but I want to continue the story. We started looking at the dreams that God gives us. He's created us, the purposes he's planted in us when he made us. Ephesians 2:10, do you remember the verse? "For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago." Each of you has this calling to go and do the good things he has planned for you to do. Next, in our second week, we looked at how we respond when our dreams and plans get knocked off course. See, there are seasons for all of us where we know God has this purpose in our lives, but sometimes when we encounter challenges along the way, we wonder if we heard right. We wonder if we went off track. We wonder if that calling was really for our whole lives or if it's just for a season. But just like Joseph in Potiphar's house, we were asked to bloom where we're planted, to put roots in the ground, and to reach up to heaven as much as we possibly can, to take the gifts and abilities God has given us and use them where we are at, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And And today I want to continue with Joseph's story through this journey. So would you open your Bibles with me? We're going to look at Genesis 39. Just flip it open on your phone. Genesis 39. I want to read the whole section because this story has got so many details and is so profound that I don't want to miss any. Genesis chapter 39. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and his livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about anything except for what kind of food he should eat. Joseph was a handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she begged. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." Verse 10. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away. But he left his cloak behind." She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story. "That Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me," she said. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." Verse 19. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Let's stop there. Joseph's integrity must be tested to help him prepare for his purpose, the purpose that God has in store for him. And as I was reading this, as I was pondering this, as I was thinking, God, what do you want me to teach from here? This is what he said. God is taking us somewhere, and the tests are meant to develop our faith and strengthen us for what lies ahead. See, God has a purpose for your life, but you must be prepared for it. I'll give you an easy example we can all understand. Caitlin, my oldest daughter, she turned 16 last year, and she went and got her driver's license. And you go in there and you write the little test. You gotta answer all the little questions on the computer, and it's kind of stressful because you're like, this matters a lot and it costs money and I don't want to waste the money. And then you go up to the front desk and they tell you whether or not you passed. She understood before she could drive, she had to do this written test. But then she's given a whole year to learn how to drive, to work towards her full license. And she will have to face a driven test. Now, this is the most challenging part, because I'm sure all of you have done this. You know that it is a stressful moment. You've driven the car lots with mom, you know what you're doing, but suddenly you're sitting beside a stranger who has to come and give you instructions for you to follow perfectly. It's only successful when Caitlin's able to complete the driving maneuvers so then she can pass and get her full driver's license. And sometimes life is just like that. There are times when God steps in and tells us to go this way, and then he tells us to go this way, and we only pass these tests when we follow his instructions, the measuring stick of obedience. And as we read through this story, I was reminded of all the different ways that Joseph was being tested. And in Genesis chapter 39, we see and we learn that it's his integrity. Always remember, that your integrity and your character matter. See, our text describes Joseph in verse 6 as a handsome and well-built man. Here's a gifted, hard-working, good-looking young man, and he's experiencing success, but his looks make him doubly vulnerable. Dr. E.K. Bailey once said, "High visibility leads to high vulnerability." Joseph was ripe for attack. Temptation for him shows up in verse 7 when Potiphar's wife comes and tells him, come and have sex with me. He must face the ongoing temptation of his boss's wife trying to seduce him. She's texting him, sliding him DMs, sending him pictures, coming by his office, pretending that she needs help. She wants one thing. She wants to have sex with him. And Joseph is tested by her, and she's relentless. She won't take no for an answer, so she keeps pressing on him every day, day after day after day. Have you ever noticed that tests on your integrity can be relentless? I think they're one of the hardest ones because, well, by definition, integrity is acting right when nobody's looking. They seem to come every single day. We're tempted to sin sexually, tempted to steal, tempted to be prideful, tempted to lie or be greedy, tempted to say, I deserve this, tempted to justify our sin. And we all know what it's like to struggle, to experience this relentless temptation, to settle for less than what God has called us to. We know what it's like to be tempted to sell our integrity for a cheap, easy, quick indulgence, substitute. And I'm impressed. Because listen to Joseph's answer to her again. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. And in verse 8 he says this, but Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held nothing back from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. He refused her. Wow. First of all, he said, I don't want to let my master down. I don't want to let people down. One of the great deterrents to sin is to consider its impact. And I know many times when I find myself in sin, it's because I didn't pause long enough to see what my actions lead to. When I was in Bible college, we had this professor, Dr. Feller. He was a scary man. He carried weight when he spoke, and he always spoke truth. A great man of God. And in my class, he gave us this really strange exercise. He gave us this scenario that each of us had to go through. We had to pretend for a moment that we had committed adultery, and then he wanted us to write down, think about all the people that would have been impacted by that decision. The outcome of that sin if we had committed adultery. He had us write out what we would say to our spouse, to our children, to our church family, to our extended family. It was a difficult and heartbreaking exercise, but it was designed to help us think about the impact of our sin. Because sin never just affects us alone. It always affects the others around us. Just a second answer. It's even more powerful than his first. I don't want to hurt my master. He says, I don't want to sin against God. That's the second thing he says. He says, I don't want to let God down. How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against the God that has been present all throughout my life? His heart is in the right place. And I pray that every time I face temptation, every time that we face temptation, that our hearts may be in that same place. I don't want to let people down, and I don't want to dishonor God. And Joseph keeps to the plan over and over and over again. When he's faced with it, he keeps consistent. He's true to it every day until one day everyone's gone. And the woman thinks, well, tonight's the night. She gets aggressive. She grabs his robe. She tries to make him have sex with her. And Joseph breaks free. And he runs from that temptation. And she tears his robe as he tries to leave. And then she lies to her husband and tells him that Joseph tried to rape her. Her husband, in his anger, sends Joseph to jail with this false allegation. Not only does Joseph have to deal with the integrity during these flirtation, but now he's faced with the challenge of being falsely accused. That a false case is raised against him, and Joseph is now faced with the struggle of trying to defend himself against someone that has lied about him. Normally we would think good people get rewarded for the good things that they do. He would be rewarded for withstanding his temptations. But instead, the tests. It's a great test of character to be falsely accused of something and endure the public shame of something you know you didn't do. And worse yet, and Joseph is punished for it. He receives a prison sentence for something he did not do. He's the victim of an unjust system. Unfortunately, in our society, there are far too many people that know this experience, especially with sexual allegations. As soon as the topic is risen, as soon as it's said, the actions begin. The punishment starts. Being falsely accused is an incredibly challenging test. And when someone seeks to damage your name and your reputation and attempts to hurt you, or your family, or your church, or your business, or something you love, it can be incredibly painful. And there will be times where you're falsely accused, and you'll have to sit through it until your name is clear. And even when it is cleared, there's often residue that remains. In some seasons, you'll have to outlive the rumor, the gossip, all of the stories that happen around the name. You have to face the challenge of living through this, through the scrutiny, through the whispers, through the attacks. You can only imagine the variety of emotions that Joseph must go through as he deals with these accusations. But there, as he sits in prison, something unusual happens. And it's reoccurring in the story, and I bring it up every time because it is so important to pay attention to. There's a little sentence, and it says, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those in the prison. He was made responsible for everything done there. And the warden, a repeating story, paid no attention to the things under Joseph's care because the Lord was with him and gave him success in whatever he did. A again, the purposes of God shining through Joseph's life. He's placed in charge again. He finds himself in leadership again. Not that he applied for it or sought it out or was looking for a career change, because the Lord was with him. It was given to him. The warden pays no attention. It's under Joseph's care because the Lord is with him. Just like Potiphar's house, now in prison, the same sequence of events is happening because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph perseveres despite the circumstances and ends up in charge. The original dream of Joseph is now showing up in similar, small ways. And if we look at it from the outside, Joseph's not in the best circumstances. But despite his circumstances, his gifts and talents, experiences continue to shine. And Joseph, again, is elevated. God gives him success. And everyone around him knows that the Lord is with Joseph. It's obvious to all, even in prison. He's prosperous. God's hand is on his life. He may be in an uncomfortable place, but even there, God is with him and still working towards his purpose. And some of you today, when you're sitting there, you can testify that when you have a purpose on your life, even through the test, God stayed with you and continues to bless you. Just like our storybook this week, it's hard to draw. It's hard to learn, especially when there's dysfunction in the family. There's that extra level of this is difficult. But if we do this together, if we do this hard work together, it's worth it. And as the family grows in maturity and they learn how to work together, they can learn in these tests and they can develop character. See, sometimes, if you remember, sometimes God takes away our problems, but sometimes he tells me that I need to find a way to get through this. I need to learn how to work with my brother. All of this is so that one day Jesus can look into that molten silver and he can see his reflection. Over the last season, I've been studying and learning about church conflict, reconciliation, that's the word we use. And through this process, I began to take out my phone and I would write down some of the tests, some of the trials, some of the things that God had called me to and carried me through over the last 20 years of ministry. And I thought about some of the parenting challenges and crises that Lisa and I faced raising our kids. And I thought about the hard work that it is to be married. I thought about the complicated work to raise a family and to deal with cousins and uncles and people who don't know Jesus. I thought about trying to pastor, to be in the public spotlight, and live and raise our kids even though there's all of these tensions that are happening in the background. And I thought about ministry and some of the betrayals and the challenges and the financial issues that God has carried us through. And you see, God has carried us through so many of these tests over the last 25 years. And truth be told, I know that there will be more tests in the future. That lies ahead. But here's what I've learned about God. God stays with you through the test. God stays with you. He'll see you through them. Even the moments when I failed, when it was my fault, it wasn't just someone else on the outside and I had to deal with their sin. When I was the one who caused it, he even redeems our failures so that we can fail forward. And I'm so thankful because I never would have made it this far without him. Because God is good. I want to read to you again the last page of the storybook that Lisa brought. Because it's so, so true. Mom comes into my room to kiss me goodnight. And before she leaves, she says, God made you. God loves you. And I interrupt, kiss my love, she smiles. Three truths, if believed, will change your life forever. And she gives me a kiss and turns out the lights, and I dream of sledding and cocoa and wait for my dog to wake me up for another day. God made you, God loves you, God is kind. It reminds me of the passage in Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Recognize him. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. His love endures forever. So, church, know this. God will see you through your tests. He will be with you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for these words, the story that you've given us, the story of Joseph. Someone so long ago, 2 or 3, 4,000 years ago, who walked through trials, who followed a path that you gave to him that was not easy. And we get to be onlookers. We get to see from the outside what you did to this man, how you treated him. And I love the repeating phrase, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. To a man who was called. And Jesus, I look at us today, and we have so much more. Because you died for us. You rose again from the grave. You defeated sin. And then you gave us an opportunity to join with you on this mission. Not in our own strength and our own power, but with your Holy Spirit. You filled us to overflowing, and you said, I want you, my called, my beloved, my children, I want you to fulfill my purposes. So God, as we read Joseph's circumstances, as we see the trials he goes through, and as we relate them to us, then we can say the same response that you gave to Joseph. The Lord is with us. He will carry us through. So church, if you have never experienced this love from Jesus, I want you to know I'm available. I want to talk to you. I want to pray with you. And if you're sitting there saying, this is a heavy weight I'm carrying, I want to open the altar. It steps forward. Sometimes it's nice to get up and do an action. Come and pray with me. I'd love to pray with you to help you on your journey, to say, can you help me give this to God? The circumstance that I'm in, the trial that I'm walking through right now is hard, but Jesus, I want to give that to you. I want to have you carry it with me because you said your yoke is easy, your burden is light. I want to come into your presence once more and do what you called me to do. So if you need that word,